everybody, I'm a recovering addict. My name is Charles.
Hey, Charles.
And I got to share with you, I get nervous every time I do this, and I'm really exceptionally nervous tonight, and I'm sort of honored to be here, and I'm sort of pumped. I mean, this convention is just awesome. I mean, I just came from like a dynamite meeting with the opening speaker. I mean, he's got me all psyched, yeah, so I'm going to share with you like my experience, strength, and hope on the first six traditions. And they truly are the ties that bind us together. And I got to tell you that, you know, when I first came to this fellowship, I could care less about the traditions. I mean, I passed over all of that stuff with a minimum of concern because I was really about just staying clean one day at a time. And I thought all of the tradition stuff was the politics of NA. And I was never going to have to get involved in that stuff. And there were people here, my predecessors were here before me, and I thought they were going to stick around forever. I just figured that they was running NA, and I was content to just sit in the back and just worry about staying clean. And a strange thing happened in that I started going to the business meetings, and I started sitting in the back. And then as people left, I moved a little bit closer to the front. And then a strange thing happened. I started having an opinion, right? And by the time I got 90 days clean, I was the 90-day wonder. And, you know, I should tell you how NA should work, and, you know, we should be doing it this way, and, you know, instead of that way. And my opinion became valuable. And I learned about the traditions mostly by breaking them and having people step to me and say, no, that's not the way. But NA became my life. And my sponsor told me that NA is not a life. NA is a means to a life. But I got a good friend who talks about how the steps prevent me from committing suicide, and the traditions help me from committing homicide. And the funny thing about it is that as I started to learn more about the traditions, it seemed like every tradition gave me something that helped me with my relationships. I don't know about you, but relationships are a tough area for me. Basic text says relationships could be a terribly painful area. And each one of the traditions helped me in dealing with relationships. And that first tradition was a big one because it sort of helped me with my loneliness. It talked about our common welfare, and it talked about how my personal recovery is dependent on our common welfare. And the thing you get out of my common welfare is that it's me and other people besides for me. I mean, NA means never alone. And my personal recovery means that I just can't put my let my dreams and my ambitions get too big for the group, because we do have a common purpose in the group, and that's to make sure the group stays healthy. And I've been in meetings where, you know, there's some guy who comes into the meeting and he's half drunk, and I mean, and you look at the guy and he really needs a meeting. I mean, he smells like he needs a meeting, and he looks like he needs a meeting, but he's disruptive. And the other 25 people in the room, they need a meeting too. So for our common welfare, we pull together and we ask this guy to leave. Not that we want to exclude him, but we know that the common welfare, the 25 people who really other people need the meeting, is more important than just one particular member. That first tradition works in my life in that I realize that, you know, like it helps me. I'm not just isolated anymore. I'm just not alone. I spent my whole life being alone, being apart from. And this tradition, once I brought it into my life, made me a part of. No matter where I go now, I mean, even at work, I'm a part of. In my family, I'm a part of. My family, they had sort of written me off. I mean, they sort of treated me like, you know, I was a leper. And, you know, I mean, when I was using, somebody would die and I wouldn't hear about it for 6-7 months. And, I mean, today, it's like, you know, like I really appreciate my family, you know. And I appreciate being insider to the family, and not only that, I carry this program with me to them, and I help them even more than they help me, because they don't have a program, they don't know anything about spiritual principles, they don't know anything about hope and faith and trust and courage, and I bring that with me when I go to all our family gatherings. They think it's a barbecue, but to me it's a church, and you know, I go and I administer, and this tradition gave me that, and it became one of the cornerstones of you know, what makes NA NA. That second tradition came in, and I mean, that was a giant one for me, because this was one of the ones where I had been in a fellowship a little bit, and I got a glamour position, and I thought I was going to preside, and I started, yeah, we should do this, and we should do this, and my head might have got a little bit 4 or 5 sizes too big, and the group conscience, right? They talk about our group, our leaders are but trusted servants, right? And I thought, well, you know, I should be leading, right? But they saw it a different way. And so they took a group conscience and, you know, and the ultimate authority, you know, which wasn't me, decided that, you know, that once I got reduced down the size and put back in my place, it was a whole lot easier to just lead the horse the way it was going than it was to try to, you know, like lead this way when nobody was following me. This tradition is real, real important in my life because it gave me, it told me about control, about who's in charge. And it told me about fitting in and getting along with people and that. My will and what I think doesn't have to be the most resolving factor. Not only that, it reminded me that that I was a strong-willed, self-centered mismanager, and it put me in contact with a lot of other strong-willed, self-centered mismanagers, and we would have to come to some kind of agreement today, and today I realized that my opinion, no matter what it is got to be part of the whole, and I got to work in conjunction with other people. That third tradition was a giant step for me because it taught me about unconditional love, and it told me that, you know, that the only requirement for membership in this fellowship was a desire, and it didn't qualify the desire. It didn't say it was an honest desire or, you know, a fuckload of desire, a thimbleful of desire. It just said desire, and nobody could determine what the desire was because there's no desire measuring stick, right? I don't know what, you know, I mean, you say you got a desire, I'll take your word for it, but it told me about just not excluding people. This program includes people, and all you have to do is just say that you're a member whenever you want to, and you're in. I mean, it doesn't have any other qualifications that, like, you know, you got to run, you know, a mile in a certain amount, or, you know, you got to use a certain amount. It just lets everybody in, and it helps me because I don't judge people today. It helps me because when I look at the where I came from and how I was given a second chance and I was allowed to change, that I have to give other people that same thing. And it gives me a little bit of empathy because I know where they came from. They, like me, they came from the belly of the beast, and they're entitled to their recovery or to attempt their recovery any way they see fit. And they're entitled to relief from their from the disease, their disease, and its horrors. This tradition is I see it all of the time, and that and I'm glad it's the way it is because this fellowship is growing by leaps and bounds. And not only that, when you look at society, you know, like you use the N-word now, and they send you to rehab, and when they get out of rehab, they send you to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, it's people just show up, and I mean, we got these sheets that they sign, and I mean, so there's a lot of people who come into Narcotics Anonymous not really looking for recovery, but in order to make Narcotics Anonymous the place where it is, the healthy place it is, you know, like it's up to us to open all of these people because at some point they might want to recover, they might want to come back, and you know, the fourth tradition was the one that I really personally like because it talks about autonomy, and just like the fourth step talks about taking the group. The autonomy of the fourth tradition means that the group has to take its own inventory to find out, you know, whether it's affecting NA as a whole. And sometimes groups get real big-headed and they figure, well, you know, like we're the H&I group, man. We got all the H&I guys, and you know, we should be carrying the H&I message for NA. And you know, like the group, groups change. The dynamics change. People come and go. Groups that used to be the best group in the biggest group in the county at one point, suddenly, you know, a year they shrink. It's changing, and what happens is that just like in my own personal life, I have personal autonomy in that no longer do I people please, no longer do I use your judgment to determine who I am. My personal autonomy gives me the right to decide for myself, you know, whether I'm doing, you know, the right thing or the wrong thing or, you know, God's will or self-will. I make those determinations. I don't need your help. I mean, you could volunteer, but that doesn't mean I'm going to take it. And the group has the same right and responsibility in that they have to take a look at their own behavior and see if what they're doing is affecting NA as a whole. But the group, and there's all different types of groups, and the nature of the group sometimes could change, but each group has their right to determine to make themselves a small group or a special interest group, or, you know, and they're accountable to the members that they serve. And with responsibility comes a lot more honesty and a lot more vigilance. Groups have to really, really stay on top of, you know, who they're trying to serve. fifth tradition, I mean, this was a giant one for me because this one gave me purpose. When I brought this one into my life, I mean, I was a guy who went, I mean, for years, I mean, just aimlessly, just getting high. I mean, I used to live and live to use, and I mean, I didn't care about any structure or anything. And when I got to this tradition, it told me that it was going to give me purpose. And it was going to give me a purpose. It was going to give me a primary purpose. And it told me that, you know, like, well, what my purpose was, and it said that I was going to carry a message, and they told me that I had to chase my recovery the way I chased my drugs, and I don't know about you, but you know, I really took a lot of pride in chasing my drugs. I mean, when I went to cop, I wasn't going to get beat, I wasn't going to get busted, I wasn't going to get bumped in the head. I mean, I was going to get even more than my money's worth. And I remember going to the cop once, and this guy, he gave me a beat bag, and I stuck the money through the hole and all the rest of the stuff. And I mean, and it was a nasty feeling, you know, I mean, now, because I mean, I just got beat, and I didn't have any get high to fall back on, and that was the end of my money. And I mean, that was, you know, and I was committed, right, that I was just never going to go through that again. So I mean, when I went to cop, I mean, you know, I was committed. And that's the same thing with this tradition, this fifth tradition about carrying the message. I'm committed to carrying the message, and I'm going to carry the message if it takes all day, right? Not only that, my commitment to carrying the message is that you're going to use before I get tired of carrying the message. That's how committed I am. And this tradition gave me that. And, you know, it told me, like, what is our message? And the message is, you know, like, addict, any addict, right? Because stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. And, I mean, we've been hearing that. I mean, at least I heard it all night. I mean, that was a great opening speaker. And, I mean, he told us, I mean, just pretty clear, like, what the message is. And he told us that, you know, like, that we do have a primary purpose, and we need to keep focused on that because sometimes, you know, like, and it talks about in the basic text about how if we let making money become our primary purpose, that, you know, there could be some rich addicts, but addicts would die. If we make relationships, you know, our primary purpose in here, and I see people do it, it's okay, just keep coming. That, you know, like, people have a lot of dates. I mean, they get married 4 or 5 times, which, you know, like, addicts will still die too. But yeah, we in here know the horrors of the disease of addiction, and we know that an addict who could stop using for one day, we know that they're miracles. So, you know, we really focus on carrying that particular message. And the sixth tradition is a giant one because it helps me with my distractions, right? I mean, sometimes it's real easy to get distracted with money, property, or prestige, especially if you, you know, if anything like me, because I mean, sometimes I gotta watch where I'm going because I usually go where I'm watching, and if I'm watching, some Land Rover, I mean, you know, I mean, that's pretty easy to attain. I mean, it only takes money, right? I mean, and before you know it, I mean, I got all of these goals that line up that are sort of contradicting, like, what goals my higher power would have for me in my recovery. And it's real easy for me to lose focus with that stuff. And I mean, and this tradition reminds me that, you know, like, that I really need to stay vigilant in what I'm doing. Not only that, I need people to help me. I need people, like the opening speaker was talking about, you know, we are each other's eyes and ears, and, you know, and that's true. That's really been true in my recovery, and that I've got another number of brothers in here who just really keep me focused on where I'm going. And I've seen this tradition, Steve's here, and I used to have a position where I used to chair our particular area, and these guys had a building that they didn't want anymore, and it owed back taxes, and they wanted to give it to us. And I mean, our whole area was real excited about getting this building, and, you know, we was going to turn it into a clubhouse, and, you know, we had a management team of all of the old, wise, experienced members, and, you know, we had people who's going to manage it. The building needed a lot of work, but, you know, there's a lot of blue-collar guys, man, who would step up, and we had plumbers and electricians, and we had carpenters. I mean, and everybody was real excited about this. About, you know, this building that, you know, we was gonna, you know, just turn into this monument to NA. And somebody decided, well, look, you know, we need to be vigilant. You know, we might be breaking a tradition here. No, this is good. This is good for us. It's good for NA. It's good for everybody. We could do a lot of good with this building. And so out of the dispute, we decided to email World, right, and get their opinion on, you know, our clubhouse and how it should be run, and, you know, because we wanted to do things the right way. And the guy from World emailed us back saying, you know, he was sorry to throw a blanket on our parade. He told us that it wasn't a good idea, and he started telling us why, because people would associate the clubhouse with NA, and at first I didn't see it, but as I started to spread the message that World said that, you know, it was a tradition violation, I started to see that, you know, some of these strong-willed, self-centered mismanagers had different ideas that caused us to argue, right? And I mean, and this was like, you know, in a dino we was arguing, you know, and people were taking strong positions, and, you know, I was like, wow, man, you know, if this really was our clubhouse, man, we'd be calling the cops up in here, you know. we might be on Eyewitness News, man, you know. You know, and I started to see the value, right, of taking Will's opinion on this particular tradition, and it talks about how our traditions are non-negotiable. And we have a lot of people in our area who think that they could sidestep the traditions, or skip the traditions, or, you know, get around the traditions, or just ignore the traditions, and we have a lot of renegades in our particular area. But the traditions are in place for a reason, because that's what keeps this fellowship alive and free. And I really believe in the traditions. I mean, NA has given me my life back, and the traditions are something that, you know, like, I mean, when they say non-negotiable, they really do mean non-negotiable. And on any given day, I mean, depending on what I'm going through, what I'm feeling, I could try to turn this fellowship into a completely different fellowship. I mean, I could turn this into Feelings Anonymous, or Relationships Anonymous, or Wine is Anonymous, but this is really about Narcotics Anonymous, about people staying clean 1 minute at a time. And so the traditions actually protect you from people like me, who on any given day want to modify on what Narcotics Anonymous does. And it also protects me from people like you, right, who might want to, on any given day that I'm not there at the business meeting, want to, you know, turn things upside down. But the traditions are really, really important. You know, I'm glad that the hard-won experience of our predecessors put them into place, and it wasn't like they inherited them. I mean, they went through, like, the throes of everything that's in the traditions. And today, you know, for a guy who was always a rebel, a guy who never could follow rules, a guy who always loved a lot of anarchy, I mean, I really believe that, you know, like, these traditions, and, you know, like, they really do keep Narcotics Anonymous the safe place for people to recover, just like me. You know, I don't know what Narcotics Anonymous would be with people who really didn't abide by the traditions, but I know that I'm just one of the guys that's really grateful that Narcotics Anonymous was here, that people who came before me kept it the way it is. And my responsibility is to try to keep Narcotics Anonymous, just serve Narcotics Anonymous to keep it going the way the people did before I was here. So I'd like to thank the programming committee for taking a risk. I'd like to thank all of you guys for showing up. And most of all, I'd like to thank God of my own understanding for loving me and getting me here and helping me carry a message. Thanks for listening.